This is the Woodland Hills Family Church podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for listening, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
Welcome. Good morning. So glad you're here. If this is the very first time you've ever stepped foot in here, welcome. You belong here, and we're so, so glad that you are here with us. When we started, we sent out a message to all the teaching team when we're going to do a new series, and so when Ted gave me Psalm 103, I was fired up. Like, I was like, that's my jam, right? Right? And I don't know if you guys, some of you young people don't understand this, but we used to drive in a car, and we drive in a car. Any people in here had 8-tracks? Anybody in here? Yeah, my young friends have no idea what 8-track, what about CDs? Like, any of you guys have a CD player? Yeah, young people, it's this round, circular thing that you used to, well, it's crazy. Like, think about it. When we were coming up, when we were growing up, when our jam came on, like, we're like, turn that up. That's my jam right there, right? And then we'd have to wait an entire hour for that thing to come back around and listen to it. But now with Spotify and Apple Music and all, they don't have to wait anymore. There's no waiting. It's just everything's instant gratification. Matter of fact, you don't even have to wait for Christmas every day. It's called Amazon Prime. You get it the day you want it. Like, there's no waiting anymore. So when I got Psalm 103, I'm like, that's my jam. Like, that is my Mount Rushmore of Psalms, right? Psalm 1 would be up there. Blessed is the man who does not walk with the wicked or stand with the sinners or sit with the scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of living water. Whatever he does prospers, right? And then Ted threw a heater. Another word for heater, older people now, is like a really good message, okay? And so Ted threw a heater the other day with Psalm 51, which is a repentance psalm. It's David's son. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions and wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And then he says, create me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Then he ends that psalm. He says, God, you don't delight in burnt offerings or sacrifices. The delight of God is a broken and contrite heart. God wants our hearts. He doesn't want our efforts and our works. We call man, or David, a man after God's own heart because of Psalm 51. I love it. Psalm 139, on my Mount Rushmore. No, Donald Trump is not on my Mount Rushmore. Psalm 139 is, which Psalm 139 is all about identity. It talks about if I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. He knit me together in my mother's womb. His eyes saw my unformed body. Every one of my days were written by him. He ends that psalm with one of the most motivating or checking your motive prayers you can have. And Psalm 139, 23, and 24 says this, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in your way everlasting. And then the fourth of my Mount Rushmore Psalms is Psalm 103, and we get to look at it today, and I couldn't be more excited. I love this psalm. I don't know if a psalm has been read and thought about more in my life. It's a psalm of mercy. It's a psalm of grace. It's a psalm of forgiveness. It's a psalm of excitement. It's a psalm of remembering. It's an amazing psalm. And so I'll encourage you, like, if you're like, man, I've never read the Bible, I'm overwhelmed by reading the Bible, I don't even know where to begin with reading the Bible, man, psalms are a beautiful place to start. They're a beautiful place to start. As a matter of fact, after we finish this Psalms of David, we're going to jump into a Christmas series of psalms. And so I would just, they're just there. It's like, it's an easy connection when you start thinking about prayer, okay? So every year I start a program, and at the beginning of the program, I take my students and my athletes out to Martin's Point. If you've never been out to Martin's Point, it's this beautiful spot out on Table Rock Lake where it's literally a point. And so on one side, you could go out there and see the sunset, and the other side, you could go out there and see the sunrise. And so every year, to symbolize the start of the year, I take them out there to see the sunrise. Well, this year on the day when I was going to take them out to go see the sunrise, it was really overcast and it was raining. And I looked at the radar and it didn't look like it was going to clear. And I know this seems like something really small, but I was like, hey, Lord, if you would just break the clouds for even like 5 minutes so this group of players could see a beautiful sunrise, I would be so thankful. And so I get out of my car. I'm out there before them. It's about 5:30 a.m. And I got my North Face hoodie jacket on to get the rain off of me. And I'm walking out to the point, and it's raining. And the other players and coaches are about 20 minutes behind me. And I just get out there, and I just start praying in the rain. Like, Lord, would you just break the clouds? I know it seems something, and I know I'm looking at this radar, and there's no way it looks like the clouds are going to break. But, God, you can do it. And I believe and trust that you can do it. And it's Ray, and then the boys show up. I can hear the vans pull up in the pea gravel, and they start coming down to the point with me, and they get down there, and they're getting rained on a little bit. Like, what's he dragging us out here in the rain for? And you can tell it's starting to get bright, even with clouds. You can tell when day's coming, and so the sun is starting to rise. And sure enough, the clouds start to break. And yes, that's what I was doing inside. And so this most beautiful sunrise starts to take shape. And so I start talking to these young men about God's faithfulness and how far he's brought them to this point in their life. 18, 19-year-olds, yeah, you're real far. Wait till you're 50, right? That's what you guys are thinking. But I start talking about God's faithfulness, and I talk about how that sun's going to rise tomorrow, and that sun's going to rise the next day, and that sun's going to rise November 16th, and it's still been rising ever since they've showed up to this program. And God's faithfulness, right? And his mercies are new every morning. And I'm talking about his faithfulness, how amazing he is. And it wasn't even supposed to have a sunrise this morning, but he gave us a sunrise. And just trust God's faithfulness, because he's gotten you this far, and he sees you. And as I'm talking, and I feel like I'm throwing another heater, one of my coaches touches me on the shoulder. I'm like, dude, what? And he tells me to turn around. I'm like, what does he want me to turn around and see? And so as I'm talking to them, showing this unbelievable sunrise, he said, you got to turn around. And I turn around, and I'm like, what? That's a double rainbow that turned into a full single rainbow. And so I say, hey, fellas, and as I'm talking to you about God's faithfulness, do me a favor and turn around. Because they were all staring this direction at the sunrise. And so then they all turn around, and then I see like 27 miles. I'm like, yo, I didn't do that. I can't handle that. That has not pyrotechnics. That's not me. That's your creator of the heavens and the earth. And so I was like, fellas, I got to print out a canvas to remember, because I'll forget. Matter of fact, my friend from New Zealand was here a couple weeks ago. He does ministry in New Zealand. Amazing friend. And he said something that stuck with me. He said, we are rubbish at remembering. I'm rubbish at remembering. And the older you get, any of you feel like the older you get, the more you have a problem remembering stuff? Anybody? Yeah. I forget everything. Whew. Right? This happened. I'm rubbish at remembering. I have a hard time remembering things. And what's crazy is this whole psalm we're about to jump into, at the beginning of it, it's just God telling us to remember. And remembering is actually really good for us. Check this out. Let's jump into Psalm 103, verse 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. All right? If we were to replace forget not with one word, what would it be? Remember. That's synonymous. It's forget not is the same as remember. So remember all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. You realize he has given us benefits all the time. He's blessed us with benefits. And so at this church, how many of you ever made a fun loving you list that Ted talks about, right? A fun loving you list about your spouse. It's just a list that you reminds you of all the things you love about your spouse. It's just a reminder so that when you have a spat and the honeymoon's over, you're like, oh yeah, this is all the things I love about you. Because I promise you can wake up in the morning, you can decide to look at all the things you love about your spouse, or you can decide to find out all the things you're frustrated about your spouse. I found that it's healthier when I look at all the things I love about my amazing spouse, right? And so I took it a step further from Ted's advice, right? So my wife and I have this thing called our remember board. This sits in our home office at home. This is in our office. And so it's something for us to look at and remember how faithful God has continually and consistently been in our life. And he is. There's different things, right? We had a miscarriage. You never realize how many people had miscarriages until you have a miscarriage. And then they all come out of the woodworks and like, yeah, we had a miscarriage too. The Bible says to mourn with those who mourn. But as I look back, and it was one of the hardest seasons her and I went through. It was a brutal miscarriage. We had a miscarriage. But we wouldn't have our sweet little panda bear. And I can't imagine life without my sweet panda bear, who's now 11, right? Like life without him would be so different. And we never would have had him had my wife not had the miscarriage, which in that dark season of our life was really difficult, but it brought a really bright season into our life. And we didn't see it at the time, and now we do, right? The same little 11-year-old. We're on Santa Monica Pier. Dude's 3 years old. My wife thinks I got him. I think she's got him, and he's lost on Santa Monica Pier. That's why this is on here. When you talk about the scariest 5 minutes of both of our married lives, this was it. I don't know if you've ever been to Santa Monica Pier, but there's a lot of creepers and jeepers out there, okay? And we're on Santa Monica Pier, and I know this is crazy. First we pray, Lord, please help us find this child. And then within 5 minutes, we found him tucked in one of those arcade games. It's like enclosed, and he's just smiling away. I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, right? But there's so many things on it. Like here's a friend, a picture of my buddy Joe Shuchart. My buddy Joe Shuchart, who has no mobility, right? He can't move his arms, his legs, and he just keeps praising Jesus. And I was just a part of a wedding within the summer. It's just unbelievable how faithful God. And then he just got diagnosed with cancer, and he sends an email out to all his prayer warriors. He's like, praise God that he would consider me worthy to suffer. It's like, what? What? And here's a picture of me and my dad just golfing this last week out at Cliffhangers, which you haven't played it, you got to play it. And I'm just like, these things that I remember of God restoring and redeeming and doing all these amazing things in my life that I look back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I forget those things. You and I forget those things. He's been so faithful to you. And hey, I'm not calling you guys out, but it don't look like very many of you in here are missing meals. He keeps providing for you. He keeps putting food on the table. He keeps putting a roof over your head. He has been so faithful in your life. He's got you to hear. And Psalm 37, 25 says, I was young and now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children beg for bread. He's faithful. And he says, don't forget that. And here's what's crazy, is he knew we were going to forget it. How do I know? Look what he told the Jews to do in the Old Testament. Now, by the way, there's Jews who still believe the Messiah is coming. And then there's Messianic Jews who believe Jesus was the Messiah. And they still follow all these amazing practices. It's amazing, right? So Passover, what's Passover? To remember God delivering Israel from Egypt. You think about it. Do you really need to be remembered that night? They knew what happened. They knew the Passover, the angel of death that passed over the firstborn. He's like, nope, you're going to remember it. You're going to have Passover. You're going to have the Seder meal every year, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This was to remember the haste which Israel left Egypt and the call to purity. The Feast of First Fruits. That's why I love that what we're doing and partnering with Convey of Hope and One Day and everything we're doing to bless all over the world. To remember that God gets the and belonging. He doesn't get our leftovers. That's why they celebrate this, remind ourselves that God gets our first and our best, not our leftovers. And then they have the Feast of Weeks to remember the wheat harvest and God's provision that he always provides in the wilderness. Then they had the Feast of Trumpets. This was to call God's people to repentance and awe and anticipation. The Day of Atonement to remember God's mercy and providing atonement for sin. The Feast of Tabernacles, this was to remember God's presence and provisions during the wilderness wanderings. The Stones of Remembrance at the Jordan, to remember how God stopped the Jordan River and brought Israel into the Promised Land. Y'all think about this. Like, you just witnessed a river that flows 365 days a year, 24/7. And it parted. And they walked through it on dry land. Don't you think you will remember that without Stones of Remembrance? I would never forget that. That's insane. That's a miracle. But it wasn't just for the people that witnessed it. Who else was it for? Their kiddos. Their grandkiddos. Their great-grandkiddos. Their great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. To remember his faithfulness. Those stones weren't just about the people who witnessed it. Those stones were about us. And he calls us to put stones of remembrance in our life because we forget. And you know what happens when we forget? We get cranky. And we get cranky, we're not very loving, we're critical, and then we become toxic, then we become wanting, and then we become complaining. And we do all those things when we forget all of his faithfulness, and we look on all the things we don't have rather than everything he's done in our life. It puts us in a critical, cranky place. And God doesn't want us in a critical, cranky place, right? Purim, to remember God's deliverance of Israel from Haman's plot. And then in the New Testament, right? We just celebrated baptisms this morning. That's a symbol of remembrance of death to Christ and alive to my new self, right? In the early church, Acts chapter 20, verse 7, you know why they celebrated church? You know why they started meeting a church like we do every week? To remember the resurrection. That's why we come every Sunday. That's why you guys are here, is to remember what Christ has done for us. And then communion, we take it once a month at Woodland Hills. This is my body, which is broken for you. Take this in. Oh, he must know we're really rubbish at remembering. We forget so often and so flippantly. We continually. I need to be reminded. I forget things. I forget my keys. I forget my phone. I forget my next meeting. I forget things all the time. Now, I'm A to Z, and I understand why I forget things, but the reality, that's, you know, ADD, A to Z. Anyways, so I forget things all the time, but we need to be remembered. We need to be setting things up to remember. Look, like, it doesn't stop. Look what it says in Numbers. Chapter 15, verse 38 through 39. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the people of Israel and tell them to make tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and to put a cord of blue on the tassel of each corner. And it shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them, not to follow after your own heart." Key here, follow the Lord, not your heart. Your heart is deceitful. "Not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to whore after." And so I got all of you a gift, okay? So the ushers, in the same way when you come in here, when we give communion, you grab a gift. Now you get one when you leave, okay? And so they're just blue tassels. Just like this passage, they're just blue tassels. Just a little blue tassel if you want one when you grab out. But this is what I'm praying that this blue tassel is for you. That whether you put it on your little gear shifter in your car to get into neutral, you put it on your keychain, it's just a reminder. When you feel like giving that person you're driving a one-finger wave, be thankful that you're one of 10% people in the country that have a car. Or when you find yourself quick to complain, be thankful that you have a meal today or you got a roof over your head. It's just a reminder for you to look at and be like, God has been so faithful in my life. He, as I look back, yes, there's been some hard seasons. Yes, there's been some up and downs. You might be in a down right now. He's faithful. Look back at your remember board. Look back at your blue pass and be like, oh, God has been so good to us. He's been so faithful. He never not shows up. Maybe not in my timing, but he never not shows up. And it's always in his perfect timing. So if you want one of these as you leave, it's just a reminder of God's goodness and faithfulness in your life and to look to him and not the world for your completion, your wholeness, and your satisfaction, please grab one. There'll be one available in the chapel. There'll be one in the coffee co. There'll be one available. All of our ushers will have one of these available for you as leave. So Psalm 103 goes on to say, "Who forgives all your inequity, who heals all your diseases." I want to stop here for a second. Some of you remember Billy Graham. How many of you have heard of Billy Graham? But watch this. Keep your hand up if you've heard of Chuck Templeton or Byron Clifford. Yeah, a lot of hands go down. Here's what's crazy. Byron Clifford and Chuck Templeton were forecasted to be better preachers than Billy Graham. But you've never heard of them and you've heard of Billy Graham. Here's why. Byron Clifford became an alcoholic, walked away from the faith. Chuck Templeton couldn't get over this. And this is what this is, right? He couldn't get over kids starving, diseases, suffering, all the pain. He thought, if God is so good, why does he allow all these bad things to happen to good people? And so he walked away from the faith. But we have to understand, you might be diagnosed with cancer right now. You might be going through, someone you love might be going through cancer. You might have lost a loved one in the last year that was, well, God, why didn't he heal my mom? Why didn't he heal my spouse? Why didn't he heal? And you're feeling like you tell me God heals all our diseases, but he hasn't done it. He actually did it. And this is what I mean. Look what John Piper says. God does heal, but the final promise of no more death and no more disease will come in the future. So you might be diagnosed with cancer right now, and God may heal you on earth, and he might not, and he might give you another 15 years. But I promise you this, if you are a follower of Jesus, you will be healed forever and ever and ever, and there will be no crying, no tear, no suffering, no pain, no cancer, no disease, no illness, none. And so we can stop in the moment and be like, man, God gave me 15 years of cancer. How is that a good God? Yeah, but he gave you eternity of no cancer ever. And that's the eternal perspective we need to have. When we stop, remember of his long-term faithfulness, big picture faithfulness, and we get caught up in our small bubble, that's where we start complaining and doubting. Like, God's like, I got you. I didn't promise a calm passage. He promised a safe landing, right? And that's a part of his faithfulness in our life. It goes on to say in Psalm 103, verse 4 through 7, "Who redeems your life from the pit." We're going to talk about the pit here in just a second. "Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." My wife shared a phenomenal story with me. How many of you ever read The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom? Right? Phenomenal story. If you've never read it, I'm going to tell you real quickly. Corrie Ten Boom was hiding Jews during World War II in the Netherlands. Right? And so eventually her and her sister Betsy got caught hiding these Jews. Followers of Jesus, love Jesus, and they're hiding all these Jews in their house. And she gets caught. So what do? They take her to Ravensbrück, one of the most intense concentration camps she could have been sent to. And somehow, miraculously, a Bible gets smuggled into this concentration camp where Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy are inevitably going to face death. but they're journaling in there. That's why we have the hiding place. All this stuff takes place. And while they're in there, her sister reads 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, which says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so Betsy goes to her sister, Corey. He's like, Corey, we need to thank God for the fleas, because they're infested with fleas in this barrack. And she's like, there's no way I'm going to thank God for the fleas. There's no way. You cannot bring me to a place where I'm going to thank God for the fleas. I'm itching 24/7. It's annoying. It's obnoxious. There's no way. There's no way God wants me to thank him for the fleas. She's like, no, we must. We must thank him for the fleas. And so Corey and Betsy start witnessing and sharing and worshiping, and they're praising Jesus in there, and they're getting to do all this in this barrack, and the guards never go in there to bother them. They leave them be. They let them worship. They let them praise. They let them have their little Bible studies. They're not bugging them at all. And then word gets back to Corey. Hey, you know why the guards aren't coming in here to bother us? They don't want to mess with the fleas and the lice. They don't want to get fleas. And Corey says, okay, I can thank God for the fleas. You see, you might see the fleas in your life and don't realize that God's actually protecting you from something else by using them. Sometimes you just see the shortcoming problem. You don't understand. No, God sees the big picture, and he sees your good in that. God works all things for good for those he's called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. So you might not see the good he's working in your life right now, but he's working it for good and for your good if you'll trust and press into him. It goes on to say in the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. When I was a young believer, I was like, man, I just wish God would speak to me in a burning bush like he spoke to Moses, right? I wish I could go up to a mountain and he would just speak to me like he did to Moses. But he even knew Moses would forget, because what did he do with the tablets? Wrote it down for him. Literally the finger of God in stone said, here you go, you're going to forget, so I wrote it down for you. That's what he did. He wrote, and the Holy Spirit spoke through all these guys who wrote the Bible because they knew they would forget. It was led. It was Spirit-led. It was theonoustos, the same thing. And so, like, he made known the ways of Israel. How does God make himself known to us today? We don't need a burning bush. You want to know God? Spend time in this. This is how he makes himself known to you. Right here. You want to know him more? Spend time in this. You want to hear the audible voice of God? How many of you in here would like to hear the audible voice of God? I'm just curious. Would like to hear the audible voice of God? All right, almost all of you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is in me. You just heard the audible voice of God. Yes, yes, you just heard the audible voice of God. There's the audible voice. You have access to know him way and to know his ways. You have access to that. I have access. It's called his word. Moses didn't have this. He didn't have the whole big picture. You and I get the whole big picture to see his faithfulness. The stones of remembrance, all those things, here it is. Here it is, a reminder of how faithful he's been in our life. It goes on to say in Psalm 103, verses 8 to 10, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. This is really powerful, and here's why. You ever heard somebody say, hey, how are you doing? How's your day going? They're like, better than I deserve. Like, what do you mean? What do I not know how you're living your life? What do you mean you're doing better? You're a pastor. You seem like a pretty good guy. Is there something else I don't know about? No, I'm doing better than I deserve. What do we deserve? Death. I deserve death. Or to put it another, I deserve to go to hell. That's what I deserve. That's what my sins deserve. That's what the Bible says, not what I say. The Bible says my sins deserve death. And because I knew my sins deserved death, and I knew that Jesus was the only way that let me out of what I deserve, and what his death on the cross represented, what that empty tomb represented, what the resurrection represented, and to him coming back while he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God represents, and I trusted in him, I don't get what I deserve. Because I've acknowledged him as my Lord and Savior of my life, and I'm going to live for him and not myself, I don't get what I deserve. And either do you if you put your faith and trust in Jesus. Now, if you haven't put your faith and trust into Jesus, the Bible says there's an eternal separation from God. But if you put your faith in him and you live for him, none of us get what we deserve. That's great news. That's really good news. So, hey, how are you doing today, Woodland Hills? better than I deserve. For those of you that are in Jesus, you are doing, it could be your worst day. On my worst day, Stephanie, my wife, could be diagnosed with cancer. She comes back and tells me that. Both my boys could be killed in a car accident. My golden doodle could get run over by a car. My cat that kills all the snakes for me, which I love, I used to hate cats, now I love this cat because there's no more snakes in our house, could get bit by a copperhead. That would be the worst day, and I could get fired from my job. That would be the worst day of my life. And it would be hard, and it would be a grieving process, and it would be extremely difficult. But I still wholeheartedly stand up here before you to tell you, on that worst day of my life, I would still believe God's treating me better than I deserve. Because my wife and both my boys have professed faith in Jesus, and I know that I will be reunited with them. And that would be the worst day. So even in your worst season, your worst day, turmoil, divorce, hardship, pain, suffering, all those things, it's hard to see, but I promise you, because of God's grace and what the cross represents, he's treating us all better than we deserve. That gives you perspective. That wakes you up in the morning thankful rather than resentful. That wakes you up in this morning with joy rather than bitterness. When you remind yourself of the gospel every single day, man, you know what I actually deserve today? Not to be in Southwest Missouri, which Southwest Missouri is a pretty sweet place to say I must live. And I grew up in San Diego. I'll take the hillbillies. Okay, I'm just saying, that state's changing fast. All right? And there's really nice people here. And we get a lot of tourists, and they're really nice. They don't drive well, but they're really nice. And we're so glad you're here. We're welcome you're here, and we're glad you're a part of this 100%. I mean, y'all, we got it so good. We have it so good. And we forget that we have it so good. And so when we forget that we have it so good, we start to complain. And we start to complain to our coworkers, and we start to complain to our spouse, and we start to complain. And then they start to complain. And we create this cesspool of complaining, and it just goes like this, and we spiral. Rather than like, man, we got it so good. Man, God is so good to our family. Remember when he brought us through that difficult season? Remember when he did this? Remember, look at that. Remember when he, God is so good to us, y'all. He is so, so good to us. It goes on to say, and this is beautiful because if you understand what's going on here from Psalm 51, which was by far David's lowest point. He blew it, man. He was following God and he blew it. He had an affair with Bathsheba and then he kills his best friend Uriah and he blew it. And then a couple psalms later, he pens this, and God literally answered his prayer. And in that prayer of Psalm 51, here's the callback to it. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And now he's writing and experiencing something far greater than he thought he was going to get to experience. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. Look at this. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. No, let me, I love that amen. I don't think you understand the significance of it. David was feeling guilt, shame, whatever it was, right? Whatever it was, he was wallowing in that. Sackcloth, ashes, mourning, he was feeling the weight of making a really dumb decision. We've all been there. I've made really dumb decisions in my life. And he was in that decision, and he says, Lord, I've made a really dumb decision. I do not feel the joy of your salvation. I do not feel your presence. Would you restore it to me? Would you bring me back into relationship with you? Would you bring that intimacy I once known with you back? I've blown it. That's what sin does. It separates us from God. And we see it here that he's separated. And look at it. This is what's so amazing about this verse. This is like my favorite verse in my favorite psalm right here. You're about to see why. As David penned this, you notice what he doesn't say here. He doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. He says as far as the what? Let me show you why I'm pointing that out, okay? If I got on a plane right here in Hillbilly Vegas, okay, and I boarded that plane and I started flying north and I started going north towards Minnesota, and north towards Canada, and north towards Greenland, and then I wrapped around, and I started going, what direction am I going? Okay, so now I'm going south towards Russia, south towards China, south towards Thailand, south towards Indonesia, and then I wrap around Antarctica. What direction am I going? Oh, so you see, north has its limits and south has its limits. But he didn't say as far as the north is from the south. He said as far as the east is from the west. Now watch this. I get on that same plane in Branson, Missouri, and I start flying east towards the Carolinas, east towards Europe, east towards Mongolia, east towards China, east towards Branson again, east towards... What direction am I going? What direction am I still going? All right, if I get on that same plane and I board in Branson, Missouri, and I start flying west towards California, and I start flying west towards Thailand, and I start flying west towards Europe, and I start flying west towards North America, what direction am I going? What direction am I still going? So you see, his mercy knows no borders. His grace is limitless. What this means is there's no past, present, or future sin of yours that has more power than the cross of Jesus Christ. That's great news. Because I made a really dumb decision when I was 12 years old. And Jesus says, as far as the east is from the west, so have I removed that from you. I made dumb decisions when I was in college. And God says, as far as the east is from the west, so have I removed that from you. But where does that remove from? It gets removed when we step into a personal relationship with Jesus. When we recognize we need those sins removed as far as the east is from the west. When we recognize that we need his grace. When we recognize that we need his forgiveness. Where is it found? It's found by putting your faith and hope in Jesus. It's found in recognizing you need a Savior and you cannot save yourself. Back to Psalm 51, that callback of David understanding this. At the end of Psalm 51 that Ted did an amazing job illustrating, the end of that psalm, it says, he does not delight in burnt offerings or sacrifices. The delight of God is a broken and contrite heart. This is what he wants. He doesn't want your works. He doesn't want your efforts. He doesn't want your habits. He wants your heart. And when he has your heart, Lord, I confess my sins, and against you and only you have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you prove right when you speak and justify. I believe and trust that you are the only sufficient sacrifice to remove my sins as far as the east is from the west, and I want a relationship with you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you defeated the tomb, and I believe you are coming back. I am asking you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I want to live for you and not myself. And then you start remembering from that day that you surrender your life to Jesus, you start putting pictures on your own remembering board. You start glancing back at your own blue tassel and you start looking back at these 25 years. I came to know the Lord 25 years ago in college and I look back at his faithfulness in my life, in my family's life, and his goodness. And over again, I look back and I'm like, God, you've been so faithful. You've been so good. There's been hard seasons. There's been miscarriages. There's been some reconciliation in families that need to take place. But God, you have been so faithful. Forgive me when I get so forgetful and I stop keeping the main thing, which by the way, we don't celebrate Thanksgiving for food and family. We celebrate Thanksgiving to remember Plymouth Rock, which by the way, we don't celebrate Christmas for presents and lights. We celebrate Christmas to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. By the way, we don't celebrate Easter for Easter eggs and Easter hunt. We celebrate Easter to remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why all these things are in place, is because I'm rubbish at remembering. If you've never placed faith in Jesus and you feel like, man, he wouldn't forgive me. Yeah, he would. As far as the east is from the west, he removes your sins from you. We'll have a prayer team up here for you as I close this in prayer. They would love to pray with you. They would love to talk to you, all the things. If not, I'm going to close this out in prayer, and I have a little gift, a little early Christmas gift for all of you. You don't even have to wait for Amazon to show up at your door. Okay? Just take it as a remembrance as you guys leave. Pray with me. Father God, I thank you so much for this church and its leadership and its team. I just pray for any hearts in here that aren't yours, that still think they have to clean themselves up, Lord. Let them know that grace is free. It costs you your life, but you give it willingly and you laid it down willingly. Thank you that you remove our sins as far as the east is from the west. I need it.
Lord, I'm rubbish at remembering. Help me to remember your faithfulness. Help me to remember your goodness. Help me to remember all the times you continually and consistently have provided meals and a roof and transportation and all the things you continually provide for us. We are so, so thankful for you, Lord, and this church and this place and these people. It is in your mighty and your matchless, your powerful and your pure name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Love you all. Be blessed. Have a great week of worship.